Good evening. Our passage this evening is from the book of Luke, chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Luke 14, starting on verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat the bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Look, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel the people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this parable. We see warning and we see glorious hope in it. And I pray that you'll help us to understand your word, that you'll help us to turn to you so that we will indeed eat bread in the kingdom of the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I am sure that you have heard of the Little League Hall of Fame in Williamsport. You've probably heard of the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. You've probably heard of the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. You might be less aware that there is an Internet Hall of Fame. There's an Insurance Hall of Fame. There's a National Inventors Hall of Fame. But maybe your favorite is the Toy Hall of Fame. What is the point of a Hall of Fame? It's to honor the best people, or sometimes toys, in an area of endeavor, like a sport or an industry. The Hall of Fame consists of the exemplars, the very best people. To get into the Hall of Fame, it means that you are seen as one of the best of the best. Who gets into a Hall of Fame? Actually, sometimes the question is, who does not get inducted into the Hall of Fame? While Pete Rose was by almost every measure qualified for the Baseball Hall of Fame, he was disqualified because he placed bets on baseball games. But being in God's kingdom does not mean you are one of the best of the best. It doesn't mean that you're smart or strong or better at something than most other people. What does it mean, though? So let's look at Jesus' parable that we just read in order to see. We'll be looking at a comment and then 3 invitations. A comment and 3 invitations. So our passage takes place during a dinner at the house of the ruler of the Pharisees. Jesus had just raised the temperature in the room, so to speak, by healing a man on the Sabbath and by suggesting that the guests shouldn't seek seats of honor. Jesus also told them that they would be blessed if they invited the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to dinner rather than the wealthy, because Jesus said, "The poor cannot repay you." So the temperature in the room is heating up because of this controversy that Jesus is raising. Then one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things. And this man said, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Some people, some commentators, think this man might have been trying to reduce that tension in the room by saying something that he thought that Jesus and the Pharisees would all agree with. If that was the case, if that was his intention, it failed miserably. But let's stop and think, is this man right? Is it a great blessing to be in the kingdom of God and eating at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Of course it is. But this man's understanding of the kingdom of God and who will be in it seems to have been faulty. He apparently thought that the kingdom was strictly for Jews and that the greatest in the kingdom would be those who best followed the law of Moses. The kingdom of God is a major theme in all of the Gospels. Kingdom of God means God's rule over everything. So in a sense, everything in the universe is part of the kingdom of God because he made everything. But the guest was probably talking about the banquet at the end times when sin and Satan have been conquered and all things happen according to God's will. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Mark chapter 1:15 says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The correct response to the nearness of the kingdom of God is to repent and believe. None of the dinner guests with Jesus seemed to have repented and believed, though. So that was the comment, and that is what led up to Jesus' parable. So that comment led to Jesus telling the parable of the great banquet. The parable starts like this. A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." Apparently, great banquets like this would have two stages of invitation. Long before the banquet, the guests would be invited, and they would more or less RSVP through the servant who invited them. The invited guests in Jesus' parable had already accepted the invitation long ago. Later then, the servant would go to the guests and tell them that the feast was ready. So come, it's ready. And so that's what happens at the start of this parable. Jesus is building here in this story of the banquet, this parable. He's building off of a common theme in the Bible where the kingdom of God is seen as a banquet or as a wedding feast. A great example is Revelation 10:19, where John is told, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." So in our parable, the host of the banquet seems to be standing for God, and the guests at the banquet are those who are actually in the kingdom. So the invited guests, they were invited, but they all made excuses for not coming. And all of the excuses are really kind of lame. One man just bought a field and wanted to go and see it. But surely he knew the land well, or he wouldn't have bought the field. Another person had just bought 5 yoke of oxen, but surely his servants and not him, not this man himself, would be harnessing and putting them to work, because 5 yoke of oxen would mean you're a very rich man. The last invited guest had just gotten married, but why would that prevent him from attending the banquet? They're all lame excuses. And remember, these people had already received the invitation, agreed to come, and now they're backing off. These invited guests were really incredibly rude. They presumed on the kindness and mercy of the host. So when the servant of the master told about their excuse, when the servant told the master about the excuses, he was angry. The first invitation didn't result in any guests. Note that these first invitees seemed to be pretty well off. They were probably the people you would expect to find at a grand banquet. And most likely, they would have seen themselves in that same light as well. Many commentators think these invited guests represent people like the Pharisees. As descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they saw themselves as being in a covenant relationship with God. They were the first to be invited into God's kingdom, to be given the scriptures, and to be given the promise of the Messiah. But when it came time to actually show up at the banquet, they had higher priorities. To Jesus, our status, wealth, health, connections, or ethnicity might be some small part of who we are, but what Jesus really cares about is whether we come to his banquet. Do we Christians act like this sometimes? Do we sincerely call Jesus our Lord and yet fail to honor him and his commands? We need to thank God for his generous mercy towards those who trust him. When the original invitees failed to show up, the master invited the poor, crippled, blind, and lame from the city. If the original invitees were people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees or the rich of the Jewish people, some commentators think these second invited guests are the overlooked and impoverished Jews in Jerusalem. They have no wealth, no learning, no self-sufficiency. Many of them were probably ceremonially unclean due to the ailments that they had. But when invited, they considered it an honor, and they came. Even after these cast-offs of society entered the banquet hall, there was still room. So the master asked his servant to go outside the city. That probably means Jesus was talking about the Gentiles now, rather than the Jews. Poor, having the wrong ethnic background, without any influential connections, these are the people the Pharisees at the banquet would consider to be farthest away from God's kingdom. And notice how the invitation to them is worded. Jesus said, go out to the highways. So the master, Jesus has the master or the Lord saying this. Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. The Greek for compel them can mean force them or make them. This implies that God is the one who brings people into his kingdom. A few translators soften the translation to urge them. But God works in a person's heart so that they love and trust him. This is God's loving and merciful version of compulsion. Jesus is saying that the master fills the banquet with people who do not match our expectation of holy people. They are outcasts, sick, poor, blind. They come to the feast, but many of them had to be compelled in order to come. And this is actually a wonderful truth. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, for consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. We are outcasts, sick, poor, and blind. We do not have what it takes to be worthy of God's kingdom. And yet, God invites us. In fact, he compels us in a way. How do we get into God's kingdom? Not through our wealth, our standing, our ethnicity, or our learning, but through Jesus, God's Son, the Messiah. He was sent to earth by the Father. He lived a perfect life in our place, and he died on the cross to pay for our sins. We enter his kingdom by simply trusting in him. This was the sticking point for the Pharisees. They thought their greatest advantages were their ethnicity and their law-keeping. But their trust in these things made them unable to see their need for Jesus. So the main point of this sermon is this: God himself fills his own kingdom with people of his own choosing. God himself fills his own kingdom with people of his own choosing. We started off looking at halls of fame. They are in the hall of fame because of their merit. The kingdom of God has completely different criteria. Hebrews chapter 11 is often called the hall of faith because it recounts the best examples of people living out their faith and trust in God. In his mercy, God welcomes the poor, the sick, the needy, and the outcast. Such people have nothing of their own that they can bring to God. They only have Jesus. But Jesus is all anyone needs. He is infinitely more than enough. Put your trust in him. One last thing. No matter who you are and what you have done, Jesus can still welcome you into your kingdom. This parable is for you. Trust in Christ today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for making a way for the poor and the blind and the lame to enter your kingdom. We thank you that our qualifications can't get us in. Rather, we need to trust in Jesus. Work in us today to give us that trust, and work in us so that we might bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So if we could sing hymn number 165, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim, 165.